If you would, please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, that's where we're going to be tonight. All right, we've been at this church for about 7 years, 7.5 years, and during that time, I've gotten to know Pastor, and I've gotten to know him pretty well. I consider him a friend, and during that time, I've found him to be a good man. But more important, during the time here, I've found him to be devoted to the Word of God. And he takes every week to study this Bible, to know this Bible, to adjust his life to this Bible. And then he every week prays to God and to the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't speak the words of Tom Hunter, but that he would speak the words that God has for him out of this book. And that has taken that good man and made him a great preacher and a great pastor for us. And a wise counselor to those of us that need him and that need direction from him. So I consider it a huge responsibility to be here and to be behind the pulpit and to take his place. And so we're going to read the passage. We're going to be in verses 3 through 14. But after that, we're going to just take a moment in prayer. Prayer for me, that he'll calm my nerves. And prayer for you, that in spite of me, that God will work mightily through his word and that you might get something from it. Okay, Ephesians 1, we're going to be in verses 3 through 14. In the original Greek text, verses 3 through 14 is all one long sentence. And that would make any English teacher cringe, right? They wouldn't be able to handle it. So the King James Version translators luckily put punctuation when they translated it into English. But because it's one long sentence in the Word of God, I decided that I was going to preach on that whole sentence. And it's kind of a big task to do that many verses tonight, but we're going to dive into it, and I'd like to read it all together, all in one lump sum, before we kind of go piece by piece. So if you would follow along while I start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. If you will, let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for all the just the wonderful things that you've taught me in this week of preparation for tonight. And I pray that in some way you'll allow the Holy Spirit to work through me and so that I might clearly teach and show the truths that you have in this word. And I pray that you'll help us to understand it. In your name I pray, amen. All right, I am a moderate football fan. You know, I enjoy football. I have a team. And I follow that team. I keep an eye on it. What's that? I'm not going to say who it is. A lot of people here could work against me. But I have a team. You know, but for every football fan, the hardest time is that off season. Right? Man, they just got to do something. And the Professional Football League, they decided that, man, they don't want all these guys just out there golfing every Sunday. They got to do something halfway through. So they created this combine. And after the combine, which kind of displays some football, every once in a while you'll see somebody holding a football. It lasts a couple days, but it gives those guys a little bit of break, a little taste of football. And after that's the draft. And that gives football fans at least 3 straight days of football-related topics. And you get to watch your team and figure out what's going to happen, who they're going to pick. And I'd like to tell you a story about the 2000 draft. You see, this last year, 256 players were drafted in the draft. And that's just to give you an idea of how many players are involved in this draft and the teams that are going to go after them. But in the year 2000, there was a coach, Coach Rabane. And Coach Rabane worked for a professional football team, and he was a quarterback's coach. So he wasn't one of the big head coaches. He didn't have a lot to say. He was probably one of many quarterback coaches. But Coach Rabane, going into the 2000 year draft, man, he had one player, and he knew this player, and he knew about this player, and he went to that team, and he was singing that player's praises. The only problem was that the rest of the football league had kind of already heard about this player, too, and they had kind of already made their decisions. See, all these coaches and these managers and these owners and the scouts that go through them, they looked at this player. They thought they knew everything about this player. They had him nailed down, and they decided that he wasn't for them. And let me show you a little bit. This is just to tell you a little bit about him. This is from his scouting report. Poor build, skinny, lacks great physical stature and strength, lacks mobility and ability to avoid the rush, lacks a really strong arm, can't drive the ball downfield, does not throw a really tight spiral, system-type player who can't get exposed if forced to ad-lib, gets down, knocked down easily. Sounds like me. If they were to describe me, that's what they would describe, right? But fortunately for this team, they respected this coach, and they respected this coach enough that they trusted him, and they followed his advice. And they, even though they had heard him sing the praises of this player, and they, in the 199th pick of the 2000 draft, the New England Patriots drafted Tom Brady. Now, I'm not a Patriots fan. Narrow it down a little bit. But I think we can all admit that Tom Brady was a pretty good choice for the New England Patriots, right? And now he has an entire town, an entire organization singing his praises now that he won 5 Super Bowl champions for them. And through that story, it kind of showed me that sometimes this world needs somebody to sing the praises of somebody. And for us as Christians, who we should be bringing praise to, bringing glory to, is God. And I want to point out some things in these verses that will show that to us. And first, in case you didn't catch it when we were reading it, let's look at 6, 12, and 14. Just real quick, I'm going to read the first line and last line of each of these verses. To the praise of the glory of his grace, verse number 6. Verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory. And then at the end of verse 14, unto the praise of his glory. So God desires to be glorified. And we see this throughout the Bible. In this particular passage, we're going to take a deep look into why God wants to be praised and how he wants to be praised. But throughout the Bible, you'll see this as a theme. And I'm going to just read them off real quick. You can look them up later, but Isaiah 43:7, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Isaiah 48:9-11, for my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction for mine own sake. Even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another? Our God desires to be praised. He organizes this world. He organizes our lives so that he might be praised. And the first place that I see the desire for him to be praised is in verse 3, if you'd look at it for me, with me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. My first point, number one, we are given spiritual blessings in Christ to the praise of his glory. That first word, blessed, that means to speak well of, to praise. So Paul's telling us here that the first thing that we're going to praise God for is for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Now, to first have these spiritual blessings, we have to be in Christ. And I was kind of in confusion trying to figure out how to describe this. How do I illustrate this term, which sounds a little strange even to me when I was reading it. In Christ, what does that mean? And you all are in church tonight. In is a statement of your position, where you are. It's a position of rest, a place of rest. That's where you are in. And so today you decided that you were going to be out in the world, but tonight you walked in here and you were going to be in church. And you thought you were going to get something here. You're resting here. You're waiting here, hopefully, as I continue to preach. And you believed that this building was going to stand, right? Otherwise, you'd be out in your car. But you had some faith. You had some belief that you were going to be here in church. And when we're in Christ, we're in the same way. In a couple days, we're heading to Disney World. And I don't know what Laura and I are thinking, but our kids are the perfect age to go to Disney World again, so we're heading to Disney World. And my two oldest, man, they are so excited about Space Mountain. For some reason, that's one of the rides that they've got to do, and we're going to do it over again because they love that roller coaster. And so when my kids get to Space Mountain, the two oldest, Coleman and Elena, they're going to go and they're going to get in that ride, right? And that ride's going to strap them down, and they're going where that ride's going to go. And they're going to ride it all the way to the end. And you know what? There's ups and there's downs. And there's going to be some scary times. But they're going to have a lot of joy after they do it. And they're excited because they're taking it all the way down. They're in that ride. They're going to be in Space Mountain. And now my youngest, he's 6. He's not a believer in Space Mountain. No matter how much my two oldest tell him how much he's going to love it, how great it is. It's going to be the greatest thing that he's ever done. He won't do it. He ain't getting in. And a lot of times I think we have a lot of people in this world that the same thing, that they're just not in Christ. They decided that they're not going to be a believer. But if you are, if you're in Christ, this verse tells us that we have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. And that means that either we have access to it now, or it's reserved for us. It's reserved for us up in heaven. And the Bible is full of describing to us what some of those spiritual blessings are, what's waiting for us in heaven, and what we have access to right now. Now, I kind of wish that it would read a little different. Part of me says, man, I kind of wish it said, all material blessings in earthly places. But I think God knows what he's doing, and I think God has a purpose. And we've already learned from the verses that we saw in Isaiah, we're going to see even more through this passage, that God desires to be praised. And that desire is best fulfilled by providing us with all spiritual blessings. Now, in Philippians 4:19, remember that the Lord shall supply all your need, and he guarantees that. He supplies all our need. But I think sometimes God blesses us knowing to the point that we'll praise him. And, you know, he's going to supply our need. He's going to supply all these spiritual blessings that we have so that he might be praised. All right, that's my first point. We are given spiritual blessings in Christ to the praise of his glory. Point number two, if you're taking notes, I always do. We are chosen to the praise of his glory. If you would look in verse 4 with me. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And this can be a confusing verse sometimes. A lot of people take this to say, oh, he's choosing. All right, you go ahead, God. Take care of it. I'll wait here. When we get to heaven, all the rest of those people that you bring, we'll get it. You got it, God. Good job. And a lot of people want to use that. They want to say, oh, God, he's doing the choosing. But I think we can get some good context of this verse if we go back to another place in the Bible where God chose a people. If you would turn to Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 8. This passage is describing Israel, the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And so if you would, verse 6, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." See, God chose the nation of Israel, and they chose him in love. And he desired that that nation would be set apart unto him, that that nation would praise him, and through that nation, a wise king, Solomon, would be able to provide wisdom for us. That through that nation, through King David, that through that nation of Israel, a Savior would be brought for all of us to the praise of his glory. But just because God chose Israel doesn't mean that he rejected the rest of the world, right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, all the world." And although God chose, he didn't reject. Even Paul, the writer of Ephesians here, he says of himself in Philippians, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But what did God choose him to do? To go be a missionary to the Gentiles. And so when we decide to be in Christ, when we make that choice to believe in Christ, to turn and trust in him, we have become part of that chosen. So we've become chosen to praise him, to give him honor, to perform his will. And through us, his purposes might be accomplished. Just like through Israel, God's purposes were accomplished. So we are chosen to the praise of his glory. And also in that verse, the second half, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. You know, when you were chosen, when you became part of that chosen group, God decided that you should be set apart, that you should have Christ-like character. And that's an important word there, should, right? That doesn't mean that you will. Now, this isn't describing our standing. You know, before God, our standing is Christ. We're holy. We're blameless before God. When we go before God in heaven, our standing will be perfect and righteous and holy because of what Christ did for us. But while we're here on earth, we should be developing Christ-like character. We should be developing holiness and being found without blame, all to the praise of God. You have a righteous standing before God, but in love to him, are you living righteously that he might be praised? So, verse number 3, we found that we have all spiritual blessings in Christ. In verse number 4, we found that we are chosen to the praise of his glory. Number 3, we are adopted to the praise of his glory. Verses 5 through 6, if you would follow along. "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." And this is another tough one. So God had preordained. He determined ahead of time. He had made the decision ahead of time. But not that we would be saved, that when we were saved, we would be adopted into the family of Christ. And I think that's an important distinction. He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And as being adopted, you have all the full rights of a naturally born son. Right? We know Reuben and Mandy, they have Piper. Legally, Piper has all the legal standing as little Reuben does, because she has been adopted into that family. And when we are in Christ, it's the same thing. We are adopted into this family. And we have a great example in this family. We have Christ. Right? And Christ was an unbelievable example of to us, because he denied his deity in heaven to come to this earth. He decided, I will not act as God. I will not be treated as God. I will take upon this human flesh and I will come down. And what do we read in the Bible? Not my will, but thine will, right? So God, even though he had an earthly desire, earthly will, he set that aside. He set that aside for God's will. And he was a great example for us, because we do. We have desires, we have wills. And sometimes, you know, sometimes those desires and wills, they align perfectly. They align perfectly with God's will, with his principles. And we can go forward and have our will. But oftentimes, it's not our will, right? It's thine will. So we need to follow the principles, follow this word. And why do we do it? So that God might get the praise. And so that his glory might be praised. All right, so we are adopted to the praise of his glory in verses 5 through 6. A side note, just because I just now thought of it. It was maybe in my pride, you know. Well, I was thinking about it this week. I remembered the verse, Luke 15:10, and it's Christ. It's the words of him saying, the angels have joy in heaven, or rejoice in heaven, when one sinner is brought to repentance. And to me, and it probably wasn't my pride or my naivety, I was thinking that, man, these angels are up in heaven and they're saying, yeah, man, you did it. Congratulations. Finally, you're here. Man, I'm so proud of you. You did it. You accepted Christ. You followed along. But after this week and after this passage, I've learned that I was mistaken. They weren't rejoicing over me. They weren't proud of me, happy of me. They were turned around and they're praising God, right? And because those angels are praising God, just like if you were here 2 weeks ago, Brother Will, he preached, and he said the angels are up there saying, holy, holy, holy. And just as those angels rejoice that I came to Christ, once I come to Christ, once I'm in Christ, I'm going to turn, and I'm going to give him the praise, just like those angels are doing. All right. So we have spiritual blessings to the praise of his glory. We are chosen to the praise of his glory. We are adopted to the praise of his glory. Fourthly, we obtained knowledge and a future together to the praise of his glory. Verses 8 through 10. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So when you were in Christ, so that he might be praised, he abounded to you in all wisdom and prudence. That's in the knowledge of godly things, biblical things, and in prudence and intelligence. You know, a lot of times the things that are in this word are not easily understood until they're revealed to you, right? A lot of non-believers, a lot of people that are not Christians, they'll come to you and talk to you and they're like, yeah, I tried to read the Bible. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You know, I sat in church and I heard this Lamb of God. Like, I don't even understand what that means. What does that mean, Lamb of God? You know, so a lot of the stuff that's in this word is not easily understood until it's revealed. But when you're in Christ, and when you come to church and you have someone behind the pulpit teaching you the Word of God, when you have a Sunday school teacher teaching you the Word of God, that when you are studiously digging into the Word of God, once you're in Christ, it's revealed to you. And then once it's revealed, it's pretty easy to understand. Now you get it, you understand it, and you can piece the pieces together because God had abounded to you in all wisdom and prudence. That, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So this is what Pastor is talking about all through Revelations, right? Sunday mornings. He's working his way up to it, that one day, all the creatures in heaven, all those angels, all those that have passed on, all of us, if we're still here, once we go up, all those that are brought during the tribulation, that one day we will all be gathered together, and together we'll be singing his praises, right? We'll be praising that God together. So if you have a spiritual understanding, praise God, because we will all be gathered together one day to bring him praise together. So number four, we obtain knowledge and a future together to the praise of his glory. Number five, and I'm pretty close on time, so we're going to keep going here. Number five, we perform his purpose to the praise of his glory. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Excuse me. So God wants us, that we should be to the praise of his glory. And he accomplished this by having a certain and specific purpose for us. Here's this word again, predestinated. So he preordained, he had determined before the world was formed, before he chose Israel, before he brought Christ, before you believed in Christ, he had counsel, that word counsel, as he intelligently designed. So he intelligently designed a purpose for you, and a purpose that through you he might be praised the most. Right? Because he did it for himself. He did it that he might be brought praise. And so God has a specific purpose and a plan for our lives. Now, some of it we can figure out, right? That's a big question, especially for the teenagers. For me growing up, that was a big question. Even now for me in life, I have some things changing in my life. And I'm trying to decide, what's God's will? What is God's will for my life? And he does have a specific plan and purpose. But we have some things that we know. He has a daily will for our lives, right? He has this word of God, and he has principles and things that we should follow so that we know, at least daily, what we should be doing because he provided us with our word. So start there. Start with your purpose in God's word, and then he'll reveal his purpose for you, all for his glory, all for his praise. So, we're given spiritual blessings in Christ. We're chosen. We're adopted. We've obtained knowledge. Someday we'll be together to praise him. We perform his purpose to the praise of his glory. And finally, this is my sixth point. We have the Holy Spirit to the praise of his glory. And that's in verse 13 through 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. All right, we've all trusted here. If we're in Christ, if we're believers, we've trusted in Christ. But I think it's an interesting point, if you look in verse 13, that you see they first what? They heard. And then the next part here, then they believed. And then finally they were sealed. So if you've heard, if you've believed, if you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, then you should be bringing praise to the glory of God. And not only that, you should be bringing, when I say bring, I mean actually bringing into God more and more praise to him by sharing his word, sharing the gospel, impacting through your life the people in your life, so that you might bring to him praise. And they won't do that unless they hear, And they won't believe unless they hear. But the next step is belief. And then God tells us that we will be sealed. And we use the illustration of in church, right? We're in church. And I don't want you to get the idea of like God sealed us. So he's like on the outside of that door being like, here's a chain lock. Gotcha. You're sealed. You ain't going anywhere. We gotcha. You know, yeah, you are sealed like that. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to fall out of Christ once you're in Christ. You're kind of like my kids at Space Mountain. That thing comes over them, right? They're not falling out of the ride. They're sealed in there. But I also want you to remember that the Holy Spirit is in with you. You know, it's like if he's in this church, he is in this church with us. He is in you. And God did that as the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance. As part of the family of God, we've been adopted into that family. We have an inheritance. And to make sure that you realize and you recognize and that you continue to believe the promises that God gave you, he gave you a down payment. He gave you an inheritance that you can recognize, that you can feel, that you can hear, that you can be revealed in the Word of God, and that you can have things in your life happen that you know what, God? Man, I believe. I trust. I see. And I am so quick. Part of that is my nature. I am quick to doubt. And that was something I struggled with a lot as a kid. But boy, once I grew and I was in college and I was under some great preaching, man, the Holy Spirit and the truths of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does and how he's in your life, man, that removed my doubt. And that gave me that belief and that trust and that ability to say, you know what, God? You're right. I'm going to give you praise because you gave me that Holy Spirit, and I can trust in you because I've got this down payment. I've got this inheritance, and we have that to the praise of his glory. So that's my 6 points. But I didn't really finish the story that I was telling you about that Coach Rabane. You see, that story had a kind of a personal impact on me because Coach Rabane never got to see Tom Brady do well. He never got to see him excel because in 2001, Coach Rabane died. And Coach Rabane died of a heart condition called cardiomyopathy. And it's a weak heart. And I have cardiomyopathy. That's what I have. I have a weak heart. And to the praise of God, I found that early. And he brought me to doctors. And now, even because of my cardiomyopathy, I have a little pacemaker and a defibrillator in my chest to hopefully prevent my death. And I've determined that I will praise God. And I will not only praise God, I will bring praises to his glory throughout my life. And that's kind of my question to you tonight. You know, after working through this passage and seeing all that God's done for you, that he's chosen you, right? That you can live holy and blameless, that you should live in Christ, that you were chosen, man. When you accepted Christ, you became part of that chosen group to bring him praise, that you're part of the family now. He decided that when you trusted Christ, you were going to be part of that family. You have great examples to follow. You have a will and a purpose for his praise. That you have a knowledge and a wisdom that is divine, right? That we have been given an understanding through the sealing of the Holy Spirit, that we have an understanding of what God's plan is and where we might fit in that plan and how we might be able to bring him glory. And so that's my question to you. You know, do you bring praise to God? And are you going to continue to bring it in? Are you going to bring praise to the glory of God? Because God's going to get it. He has it. He's going to work your life. He's going to work this life. He's already been working all of humanity, all of this world, all for the single purpose of bringing him praise and glory. And so I say that we do it too. All right, let's pray.